We're here at podtech.net across the street from our office on Sand Hill Road at Charles River Ventures with George Zachary, partner of Charles Rivers here in Menlo Park on Sand Hill Road. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here.
So you're announcing today the big new VC model. You guys announced Quick Start, which is a...
We call it the big, small VC model. small is big.
Well, everyone's been talking about VC models changing, is dead or whatever, it's evolving. You guys just announced a real innovative program. Talk about what you announced today and what it means for entrepreneurs.
Sure. What we announced today is the Quick Start program, which is our desire to fund entrepreneurs who have cool ideas with $250,000 in the form of a loan, so there's no equity dilution to begin with. And that loan turns into equity if and when the entrepreneur wants to raise equity.
So basically right now the startup environment has been talked about. All these VC funds have a ton of money. They got to put it to work. But the cost of the startup these days is small. Linux servers, there's no technology tax. And so entrepreneurs have to give away a lot of their company to an angel, go raise an A round. You guys have been involved in early stage and in a mid stage. What does it mean for them? They don't have to give any of their company away. Talk about how it works. Most entrepreneurs are familiar with convertible notes.
Yes.
And then angels kind of shepherd them to an A round. Talk about the program and what you guys are going to do with entrepreneurs here.
Got it. So the program is, it is actually a convertible note. It actually converts into the Series A, so it is a loan. We're kind of taking the best of the angel activity without the equity dilution. So traditional angel deals are, hey, I'll buy $250,000 of your company in exchange for 10 or 20% of the equity of your firm. And some of the best entrepreneurs I know said, man, I screwed up giving away 10 to 20% of my company before we knew what we were really doing. Why did I do that? And one of the things that we're seeing is that angel investors, primarily individuals, call us up after they invest in the company and they say, hey, you want to take a look at one of my 20 angel investments, and I just invested them in a month ago, and do you want to look at it? And I think, sure. But then we started realizing, why did they give up 10 to 20% of the company so someone could call us?
Yeah,
so that's kind of how we got to it. And then we noticed that we just had really good people coming to us, and we said, we'll give you the $250,000. We'll give it to you as a loan. And when you're ready to raise a venture round, we'll do it.
So let's talk about what's changed. So from my perspective, obviously we do a lot of entrepreneurship podcasts. We talk to VCs and entrepreneurs. In the old days, the VCs were these guys here on Sand Hill Road, kind of the Wall Street of the West, if you will. They were hard to get access to. Angel investors usually were the introduction. They help an entrepreneur just get settled. Here's some cash. You know, get your prototype going, and then they would help introduce to a VC.
Yes.
Now you got internet, you got blogs, you got events, social media, viral marketing. The access is similarly. We're doing a podcast here; it'll be open to millions of people. So they can get to a VC, and you can get to the startups,
and they can find out who we are and what things we invest in. They can go to our website and find out what things we like, what things we're appropriate for.
So the access,
and we can check out what they're doing online as well too.
So really, it's about the access side of it, and you get involved earlier, and you get involved anyway. So the process tends to start when you get involved, which is after the angel investor in the old way would bring it to you. Now what you're saying is you're putting some capital to work in a loan, which favors the entrepreneur,
but
also favors you because you can get access to the entrepreneurs early, understand in the due diligence process. So it's a win-win. Talk about that dynamic.
Which part of it? Because it's...
The entrepreneur wants to get access to you guys, and you want to get access to them.
Sure. So in terms of how the process works, the entrepreneur emails us to quickstart@crv.com and says, hey, I want to do this. They put together a one-page summary, maybe a link to a prototype, maybe a PowerPoint summary. And then we take a look at it, and if we're excited about it, we'll meet with the company. And it only takes two people at CRV to make a decision to fund the $250,000. That's how the mechanics of the process work. It's day one, and we've gotten over 1,000 emails.
From entrepreneurs?
Mostly from entrepreneurs.
How are you going to vet all this out? Normal process?
Email? Just normal process, going through email and making one-minute decisions on what things to take seriously. So we're encouraging people to make their summaries compelling, which doesn't include lots of fancy PowerPoint. It just includes a very clear definition of what they want to do.
So if you're an entrepreneur, if you're going to talk to an entrepreneur, they're listening to this podcast, what would you tell them to expect and how you see this envisioning rolling out?
I would tell them to expect that we're going to look at every email that they send us because we want to. It's actually pretty fun for us. The only thing that's not fun is not sleeping enough. And what to expect from us is that if it's interesting, we will definitely get back to them within 48 to 72 hours. So there's three of us here looking at all the email that's inbound. And we're going to keep doing that. It actually doesn't take that much work to read the emails.
The VC business has been changing, obviously, and these funds were big. Now they're kind of getting smaller so they can manage it. But for a while there, during the downside of the bubble crash, there wasn't a lot of angel investing. Everyone said angels kind of took their lumps, and so entrepreneurs were suffering.
That's right.
Now the angels are kind of getting back in the market. But now what you're basically doing is saying you're going to be part of that process.
Yes.
How is the VC business changing now versus what it was 5-7 years ago?
Sure. It has changed structurally. In some really important ways. One thing is the amount of money under management has grown so large that most venture firms now look more like private equity firms. So I kind of think we're back to the roots of venture, which is taking a risk and basically betting on people's concepts and things that they want to do. So that's our desire was driven from that versus just managing lots of money. Is that your question?
Yeah, talk about the risk side, because that's risky.
The risk side has really changed. 10 years ago, most venture groups would look at more enterprise level deals, and they'd call 8 CIOs and say, "Hey, will you buy our complex system product for $200,000? And can we send a salesperson out there to sell you the product?" And venture firms could go and do that diligence. Now you can start businesses which are much simpler, which are much lighter weight for the customer. So I'll give you an example. 10 to 20 years ago, people would build application software companies, and you could call up the biggest financial services companies and ask them, "Will you buy this?" And you could get concrete answers back of whether they would buy it. Now it's pretty different because most of the buyers are either consumers, small businesses, or people at enterprises who can make purchasing decisions on products that are $5,000 and below. So what we need to be able to be good at right now to do this part of the business well is to be a good judge of whether those things work. So there's two ways you can handle that. One is you can wait till it scales up and invest after it's already successful, which is what most venture groups have been doing. We've been doing that. Or what we can do is step in early and take more of the risk, but basically spread the risk by making lots of these investments.
What about also the fact that now, especially in the web space, Web 2.0 and internet, it's such high velocity proof points. You know pretty quickly if it's going to hit or not.
That's exactly right. That's the thing we saw is with $250,000, you can get a site up and running and you can start getting customers. So yesterday's acquisition of Wired by Reddit, they raised $100,000 and they had 1 million customers. And that, that's really unprecedented.
Yeah, and if you guys were involved, you might have advised them maybe not to sell, maybe take more capital and go global, or obviously their exit was pretty much to sell, which might have been a choice that an angel investor might not be able to advise them on some of the liquidity potential there. Is that a good example?
That is a very good example. In a case like that, if we had been their angel investor and they wanted to actually sell the company, we would have been in favor of it. We're actually always in favor of what the entrepreneur wants to do. Because if they don't want to do something and we do, who does it?
Exactly.
So
they got to run the business.
And in that case, if they wanted to sell the company, we would basically cash out our loan plus interest on the loan. The reason why we're undertaking this program is we're not interested in making money on the interest. So we're not interested to do this to be a bank. We're interested to do this to have access to as broad a deal flow as possible. And the reason why we believe that is we believe that very few deals are going to generate the majority of all the gain. And the best thing we can do is to be in as wide a deal portfolio as possible early on in a way that works well for the entrepreneur by making it as a loan so it's palatable to them. And also, we're not insisting on being a board member. So there are no formal board meetings. The entrepreneur can get it up and running. There aren't lots of legal forms to fill out.
It's classic seed financing.
It's seed financing.
Yeah, let the entrepreneur carry the ball, develop their business, establish their mission, and go do it. So you're basically providing, in essence, a loan. Talk about the loan. Are they liable personally for the loan, or is this going to be part of a corporate loan that has their houses on the line, or how's that work?
The individuals in the company are not liable for the loan. It's a no-recourse loan to the individuals. It's a loan to the company. If the company's concept and business goes away, they do not owe us the money personally. We go on their list of creditors, the people who sold them furniture and servers, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very low risk way for individuals to start something.
It's great for the entrepreneur, and for you on your side, it's money. But your risk is that you could lose the money. But the upside is you get more investments, and you can see which one hits faster, and you can shut stuff down, not follow on.
Yes,
and put the money behind the good ones.
That's exactly right. So to give you some example on the math, Our expectation is we'll do about 50 of these investments. And if we do 50 at about $250,000, that's $12.5 million investment of a $250 million fund. So we're not taking a huge risk for our investors, but we're giving ourselves a super great portfolio to get involved with.
Charles River has been around for a while, so on the East Coast now and the West Coast as well. I mean, great, great name. I mean, premier VC firm. This is kind of interesting. I mean, you guys are basically validating the marketplace in terms of the, what the environment is like. What was it like for you guys to kind of sit around in the partnership and talk about this? Take us through some of the inside kind of philosophies. Was it like a home run, or has it get sold through, or how did that kind of
Just started noticing we were doing more and more of these deals, and then we realized, okay, you know, two deals is interesting, three deals is a trend. Four deals means that this is a real part of the market. And one of our investments, two of our investments that are in China, one's called Maxthon, the other one's called Wangyo, started with $250,000. Maxthon has 71 million downloads. Wangyo has 8 million users. And Maxthon is a total of 7 people in the company. Now this is, you know, that's 10 million downloads per employee. So this is proof that
this is a market. This is not a bubble. This is real macro and microeconomics in play here, where you know there's a major consumer behavior shift in media and the internet, and specifically that you can get real traction. Not I got a reference of a customer who may buy a product, but like real significant milestones from a VC perspective.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's the cost structure side of things, which is it's cheaper than ever to do anything by an order of magnitude. But at the same time, the overall audience, as you guys know, is expanding exponentially. So we've got this broadband audience of people that are looking to the PC and mobile internet as their form of entertainment and information. And if you draw lines on a chart and you watch PC usage in terms of minutes per day versus compared to TV usage, the lines are crossing in the next 2 or 3 years. Yeah, I mean, you guys follow this well. And my belief is these new consumer services are going to be the biggest generating entertainment and information service companies created so far. Yeah. I mean, we keep seeing it. Yeah. Google, YouTube.
The internet as a platform is just global. It's phenomenal. So anyone who's got a business that's got the internet as a platform, I think this is a home run. Contact quickstart at crv.com and check it out. Final question. Take us through, in your mind, a scenario of success. I come to you, I'm starting PodTech a year and a half ago, you give me a loan, and things are going well. Take us through, in your mind's eye, about the process. Get a loan, it converts to an A round. Mm-hmm. Explain to the entrepreneur how that process works. Do you guys do the whole A round yourself, or is it a normal?
That's a great question, because there's some confusion about this. So, yes, we've given you the $250,000 loan. And now you, the entrepreneur, are saying, "Hey, I want to raise $2 or $3 million or $5 million. Actually, we don't care what number you say." And we say, "Great. You know, if you want us to, we'll introduce you to other venture people who you know would be great for what you're doing and that we trust." And if the entrepreneur says, "Yes, I'll take you up on your suggestions," we'll introduce them. They're also totally free to go meet whatever other venture firms and other venture investors that they want. So,
is there a right of first refusal on the deal?
There's not a right of first refusal. All we ask is the ability to participate equally with any other investors you bring in. So if you bring in a total of 2 venture firms, we would participate equally with this new firm. If you bring in 3 firms, we'd participate equally with each one of those firms. We're not actually interested to create some kind of competitive putting it in your face with other venture firms. We're just interested to get into the best deals.
Yeah, and you earned that right because you took the risk and you want to kind of maximize that. So it's not a lot of forcing the entrepreneur. So if I just play this out, let's just say that get $250,000, get all these millions of people, you get great traction, everyone's like, "Hey, thumbs up, this is a real deal."
Yeah.
Let's raise $10 million and we've identified VC1 and VC2 who want to put in $5 million. Mm-hmm. How do you guys play into that? Do you come in and say, "We'll split the $10 million 3 ways," or is it?
It's up to the entrepreneur. They can say, "We'll split the $10 million." If the entrepreneur wants 2 firms or 3 firms, all that we ask is that we have the chance to be one of them.
Equally with the others?
Equally.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not asking for us to own a controlling part. We're asking the entrepreneur is totally free to set whatever valuation with whatever amount of capital they want.
It's great news for entrepreneurs. Actually, my final question, this will be my final question, I promise. What does this mean for the VC business? Obviously, for the entrepreneurs, it's a home run. A lot of experimentation going on right now, so it's perfect for where the market is globally. But for the VC market, how do you see this affecting the VC? Obviously, there's a lot of buzz and excitement, obviously, behind this. You've been in the business for a while. How is this going to change the VC market, if any?
My guesstimation is that there'll be other groups that say, we like what the CRV guys are doing. We should be doing more of that. But there's a big group of people who are earning very high management fees that say, hey, we should be more like private equity firms. And we'll just wait for these guys to develop this stuff. And we'll wait for CRV to bring it to us. And I think the business is going to bifurcate into people who are going to copy our model and other people who are just going to stay and manage really large amounts of capital.
It's just the growth of the VC business.
Yeah,
right now, it's about 30 years old, and it's just evolving, right? I mean, still risk management, risk capital is still the key to the entrepreneur's game.
That's right.
And that's what you're doing.
That's right.
Okay, cool. George Zachary, partner at Charles River Ventures, explaining his new Quick Start program here. Charles River, located in Boston area and in Sand Hill Road here in California. Great firm. Great stuff. Congratulations.
Thanks for the attention.